Next guru is Kurari Bird.
Hark.
Ninth chapter, first verse. Sri Brahmana Uvacha. Parigraho hi dukkhasya. Dukkhaya. Parigraho hi dukkhaya. Yadyat priyatamam dhrinam. Anantam sukham apnoti. Tadvidvanyas tvakinchana.
The saintly Brahmana said, everyone considers certain things within the material world to be most dear to him, and because of attachment to such things, one eventually becomes miserable. One who understands this gives up material possessiveness and attachment and thus achieves unlimited happiness.
Now, in the later set of gurus, first the Brahmana gives the lessons, then he introduces the guru, like that. So now he is more into direct preaching than indirect preaching. Right, first he gave the example and then what lessons we can learn from it. But then later he gives the lesson and then introduces the example. Like that. So, parigraho hi dukkhaya yatyat priyatamam runam. So, everyone considers certain things as very favorite, dear things. And because of attachment to those things, he attains misery. Right, one who understands this gives up material possessiveness and attachment. Right, so this has a like similar theme to the last verse, Ashahe Paramo Dukham, Nairashyam Paramam Sukham. So Samisham, next verse, here he introduces the hawk example. Samisham Kuraram Jagnur. Balinonye niram niramishah tadamisham parityajya sasukham samavindata.
Once a group of large hawks who were unable to find any prey attacked another weaker hawk who was holding some meat. At that time, being in danger of his life, the hawk gave up his meat and experienced actual happiness.
So once a small hawk was catching some meat and then flying, and bigger hawks could not find any food, they attacked the smaller hawk. So what the intelligent thing to do is just leave that meat and fly away. And the small hawk did it. Right? Being in danger of his life, the hawk gave up his meat and experienced actual happiness. So attachment to one's possessions gives unhappiness. Right? Just relinquishing them gives happiness. That's what the hawk example gives. So hawks, vultures. This is smaller one. This is bigger one. Getting exact image is a little difficult. Many of these images are collected by Madhu Madhav Prabhu. Brilliant work. Last many days he has been doing it. Thank you. So that is about becoming non-envious also. Hawks, vultures and eagles are in this category. What is that? Incited by moods, birds become violent and kill other birds to eat them or to steal meat captured by them. You see, like one day I was admitted in Bhaktivedanta top floor, right? So early morning, maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock, I went outside in that terrace to chant. There was a small piece of chapati. A sparrow came and started biting it, right? Started taking it. Then just after 1 minute or less than a minute, a crow came, okay, and trying to capture that chapati piece, dry chapati piece, and the sparrow was going little and then it just flew away to protect himself, like that. So once you get attached to that possession, once you realize that that possession is the cause of your danger, release that possession and then run away. Right? If you once you realize that that possession itself is the cause of your danger and still you want to stuck to it, then that is foolishness. One will lose one's life only. Like that. This hawk is giving that example. And we can also see how dangerous it is. One cannot peacefully eat also what he has acquired by his own efforts. Like that. One should give up the envious propensity to commit violence against others and should take to Krishna consciousness, whereby one sees every living entity as equal to oneself. On this platform, actual happiness, one does not envy anyone. One just sees no one as his enemy. Right? So, no one is one's enemy. Now, another one small side point is, this hawks, right? Eagles, hawks, vultures, they can fly so high. There is gradation of birds, right? Say, for example, swan or peacock, they can fly only till, say, the roof height, something like that, not more than that. They cannot just fly from one country to another country. So the highest birds that can fly are some of these, like vultures kind of thing, eagles. Jatayu belongs to that category. Ramayana gives this category, gradation of the potency of birds to fly. So Jatayu and Sampati, they were having a competition, right? Who can fly high? They flew so high that they were almost touching the sun, right? So when they went so close to the sun, then the heat like was burning them. So Sampati kept his wing to protect his brother Jatayu. So that later you know what happened. Anyways, third verse is about a small child. One should see every living entity as equal to oneself. On that platform, there is actual happiness. The super soul is there, everyone, in everyone's heart. Like that. So 19th is child, 19th guru. Name mana pamana usto. Nachinta geha putrinam. Atma krida atma ratir. Vicharamiha balavat.
In family life, the parents are always in anxiety about their home, children and reputation, but I have nothing to do with these things. I do not worry at all about any family and I do not care about honor and dishonor. I enjoy only the life of the soul and I find love on the spiritual platform. Thus I wander the earth like a child.
A small child, he doesn't care so much about honor and dishonor. Where else did we hear this? Where else? Huh? Who said something? Yeah. You said? What? Ah, Dhruva Maharaj. Narada Muni says, you are a small child. Why are you so bothered about the insult by your stepmother? Small children, they don't care for insult and honor, etc. They don't mind. So similarly, a child doesn't care so much about honor and dishonor. So now, that is about happy... From child he learned happiness, how to be happy. Okay, how to be indifferent to honor and dishonor on a material plane. So next verse. Dvav eva chintaya muktav. Paramananda aplutav. Yo vimugdho jado balo. Yogunebhya param gataha.
In this world, two types of people are free from all anxiety and merge in great happiness. One who is retarded and childish fool, and one who has approached the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the three modes of material nature.
There are two types of happy people. Who are they? A foolish person and a devotee. Right? So, dvav eva chintaya muktav. They are liberated from chinta. No chinta. Right? Paramananda aplutav. They are very happy. They are merged in happiness. Right? They are foolish people or devotees. So, those who fervently seek material sense gratification are gradually pushed down into the miserable condition of life. So, even materially alert and ambitious persons are constantly in anxiety. And from time to time, they are plunged into great misery. Right? So, sense enjoyers, materially alert people, ambitious people are constantly in anxiety. They are always in misery. On the other hand, a devotee or a fool. So both are in great happiness. But there is a difference between the happiness of a fool and a devotee. A fool's peace is like that of a dead stone. Dead stone, you just beat it or just throw it, whatever you do, it's indifferent. So a fool is like that. And a devotee, a self-realized soul, he also is indifferent to all material happiness and distress because he is in perfect knowledge. Any other example from Bhagavatam? Okay, third canto, same verse. Okay, nice. Correct. I'm vaguely remembering. Okay, next. Any other example of personality? Yaniha sarvabhutana maitra karunayo. Correct. Some example of a personality? Jada Bharat. Actually, Jada Bharat was apparently a madman externally, but internally he's a self-realized soul. He's both, right? Fool and devotee. He is, falls into both categories. When Raghugana said, I will punish you, then Jada Bharat replied that, I am self-realized soul, your punishment doesn't help, doesn't affect me. Then, apparently I am a foolish person, then also your punishment doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect me.
So, a course example is like always that in IIT or in a university, two types of students are there. They are happy in the previous night of exam. One is the first boy who prepared everything in advance, and one is the last one student and prepared.
He is prepared to fail.
So, both are happy.
Prepared to spend one more year in the college. Okay, he's ready for any situation. Okay, next. Young girl. Not so young like this, but that is almost a child only. Kvachit kumari tvatmanam vrinanan grinam agatan griham agatan svayamtan arhayam asa kvapiyate shubandhushu.
Once a marriageable young girl was alone in her house because her parents and relatives had gone that day to another place. At that time, a few men arrived at the house, specifically desiring to marry her. She received them with all hospitality.
So, once there is a young girl of marriageable age, some relatives came, right? Some men came, right? So, she is receiving them with hospitality. So, I am summarizing the storyline, or you can just read the translations. 6, 7, 8.
The girl went to a private place and began to make preparations so that the unexpected male guest could eat. As she was beating the rice, the conchal bracelets on her arms were colliding and making a loud sound noise. The young girl feared that the men would consider her family to be poor, because their daughter was busily engaged in the menial task of husking rice. Being very intelligent, the shy girl broke the shell bracelets from her arms, leaving just two on each wrist. Thereafter, as the young girl continued to husk the rice, the two bracelets on each wrist continued to collide and make noise. Therefore, she took one bracelet off each arm, and with only one left on each wrist, there was no more noise.
Right, when there were so many bangles and she was doing something and it was making noise. When she made it only one, no noise. Right. The lesson is, when there are so many people, there is quarreling. Better remain alone. That is the lesson. Okay. But we need some clarification on this kind of lesson. Okay. We'll come to it in the next purport. And we emphasize so much on association of devotees. What is this lesson coming up? Be alone. Okay, we will read the ninth verse. Anvasiksham imam tasya upadesham arindama lokan anujaran etan lokatattva vivitsaya.
O subduer of the enemy, I travel throughout the surface of the earth, learning constantly about the nature of this world. And thus I personally witness the lesson of the young girl.
What is that? Vase bahunam kalaho bhavedvarta dvayor api eka eva vaset tasmat kumarya iva king kankana.
When many people live together in one place, there will undoubtedly be quarreling. And even if only two people live together, there will be frivolous conversation and disagreement. Therefore, to avoid conflict, one should live alone, as we learn from the example of the bracelet of the young girl.
Now, the girl did not remove all the other bangles and kept only one in the first go. She kept two. Then she removed the second also. Now, earlier she thought that if only two are there, at least they will cooperate with each other. No. Even if there are two people also, there will be quarreling. Okay? Better remain alone. Okay? That is the lesson. So, when many people are together, vase bahunam kalahu. Kalaha means quarrel, argument. Okay? Then conflict. So, bhave dvartha dvayorapi. Eka eva vase tasmat. Kumarya iva kankanaha. So, eka eva vase tasmat. So, my lesson from that girl is to live alone. So, now let's discuss more on this. Why this is. So, in one line, the explanation for this is when jnanis are together. Now, this young girl is giving a lesson for a jnani. When jnanis are together, their method is just analysis and argumentation. They keep together and then start arguing about the absolute truth and they will not reach any conclusion. Right? So, such kind of jnani arguments, to avoid such kind of jnani arguments which are just speculations, he has to live alone, away from everyone. But as far as now this girl is a poor girl, right? When parents are outside and the husband, she is not married yet. On the other hand, for example, if she is a king's daughter, right? And she is a married girl, married lady, then a king's married daughter fulfills her duties to her husband by dressing attractively with innumerable bangles, innumerable ornaments. She need not keep the bangles aside. Right, thinking that they will think that I am poor. She need not have that kind of anxiety. So, this lesson is given. The goddess of devotion, Bhakti Devi, decorates herself with innumerable ornaments of the Vaishnavas who come together to relish the sweet sound of the holy name. See, beautiful comparison. Goddess of Bhakti, Bhakti Devi, decorates herself with so many ornaments, bangles or damini or whatever, nathini, etc. They are all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are the decorations on Bhakti Devi. Right? She likes so many ornaments. Means she likes more and more Vaishnavas. Okay? So Vaishnavas should live together because there are no disagreements amongst Vaishnavas. At least according to about the philosophy. But jnanis, they have so many disagreements about the philosophy. Because jnani means mental speculation. Right? Speculation means his speculation is different from his speculation. So, and even if there are two people, there is fight. So, Vaishnavas should live together. Vaishnavas don't quarrel. They don't desire salvation or mystic powers, nor sense gratification. So, they don't have any wrong desires. So, that's why they don't quarrel. They always, that's why Vaishnava association, staying in association is recommended for a Vaishnava. So, this is a jnani lesson. However, some more. If we go a little beyond purport also and we have to discuss on a practical level. A practicing sadhaka is not yet a pure devotee, right? So there could be arguments. There could be differences of opinion. In this context, we can definitely remember that 4.30.8, recently in Prem Mahotsav also, Radhanand Maharaj also spoke about that. Varan vriniham badram vo yuyam me nripanandana Sauhardena prithak dharma tushtoham sauhardena va. Two times sauhrda comes. Tushtoham sauhardena va. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes, there is actually no difference of opinion amongst Vaishnavas. Right? There is no possibility of difference of opinion. But they are like varieties of opinion. And whenever there is difference of opinion, grossly, that is because of their inclination towards material desires, right? Because material inclinations and other desires, there could be difference of opinion. This could happen in the practice of sadhakas. But within Krishna consciousness, ideally there is no difference of opinion. That day Maharaj very elaborately described about Sugriva and Hanuman. Sugriva and Hanuman had very deep difference of opinion. Sugriva says, we cannot accept Vibhishan. Hanuman says, we have to accept Vibhishan. Right? And Hanuman and Sugriva reserve their positions as master and servant. Right? So they don't. And they both agree to the principle that whatever best suits Lord Ram's mentality, we have to do. Right? But Sugriva, with all his intelligence and analysis, he felt that if we don't accept Vibhishana, that will best serve Lord Ram. And Hanumanji also, with that same mentality of serving Lord Ram, he said, we should accept Vibhishan. Then, when Ram said, I agree to what Hanuman say, Hanuman says, we have to accept Vibhishan, then Sugriva agreed. So that difference of opinion was not based on their egoistic ideas, but it was completely based on how best we can serve Lord Ram. Right? So that is about difference of opinion amongst pure Vaishnavas. But as far as sadhakas are concerned, there will be differences of opinion, sometimes based on ego also. Right? So it is sometimes we may have to maintain little safe distance also. So I seek some clarification from Prabhuji also after Prabhuji comes back, right, about this. So some safe distance, maintaining some safe distance is is good, right? Because I have the tendency to find fault with other Vaishnava, right? When I closely interact with a Vaishnava, I will see his shortcomings, right? He is also sincere sadhaka, but he has some shortcomings. When I closely interact with him, I see the shortcomings. Right? So better I interact with him only based on the service and Krishna Katha, and not unnecessarily closely interact with him so that my innate frivolous nature will come up and overwhelm me and make me offend him. So in that, with that attitude, one could maintain a safe distance from other Vaishnavas, other practicing devotees. Right? Because familiarity breeds contempt. To avoid familiarity, we can make safe distance. We have to be in the association of devotees, but not intermingling so much that we offend each other and we become familiar, so much familiar with each other and offend them, like that. There should be Radhesham Prabhu was mentioning in one Bhagavatam class, in non-interference, three things Prabhu was mentioning. Collaboration, cooperation, non-interference. Collaboration? Collaboration, cooperation, and non-interference. The non-interference point I was saying. Interaction, collaboration, and non-interference. Correct. Non-interference means not intrude so much into someone's personal space. This is the way he may want to do certain things. But if we closely interact with the person, we may just interfere into his personal space also, and that may become offense or conflict and other disturbances. So in that sense, we can maintain a safe distance. Like that. So that could be one little relevance to this bangles example, young girls bangles example. Otherwise, Vaishnavas should live in association of devotees. And this is the prayer of so many exalted souls. Prachetas are saying, just give us association of devotees. Yavatte mraya sprishta brahmama yaha karma vihi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyano bhave bhave. We don't mind wandering from one body to another body, but we want association of your devotees. Right? Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayime prasango. So I want association of devotees. Dhruva Maharaj says. Then Prutha Maharaj says, sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachito bhavat padam boja sudha kananila smritim punar vismrita tattvatvanam kuyoginam no vitaratyalam varehi. I want association of your devotees and I want to hear Krishna Katha from them. So association of devotees is very crucial for one's spiritual advancement, and this remaining alone, remaining in a secluded place, whereas all these images are showing, these are meant for jnanis, not for devotees. Okay, as acharyas are clarifying here. And maintaining safe distance from devotees and not interfering so much with the personal space, into the personal space of other co-sadhakas, that also is needed for practicing devotees. 21st guru is the arrow maker.
The non-devotees, he's saying.
No, not associating with non-devotees also, you said. Correct. Arrow maker. Mana ekatra samyunjat. Jitasvasoditasana. Vairagyabhyasayogena. Dhriyamanam atandrita.
Having perfected the yoga, sitting postures and conquered the breathing process, one should make the mind steady by detachment and the regulated practice of yoga. Thus, one should carefully fix the mind on the single goal of yoga practice.
So, make the mind steady by detachment, fix it on single goal. Right? And next verse says, transcend modes like that. Yasmin mano labdha padam yadetat. Shanai shanair munchati karma renun sattvena vriddhena rajastamascha vidhuhya nirvanam upaitya nindhanam.
The mind can be controlled when it is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Having achieved a stable situation, the mind becomes free from polluted desires to execute material activities. Thus, as the mode of goodness increases in strength, one can completely give up the mode of passion and ignorance, and gradually one transcends even the material mode of goodness. When the mind is fixed, freed from the fuel of the modes of nature, the fire of material existence is extinguished. Then one achieves the transcendental platform of direct relationship with the object of his meditation, the Supreme Lord.
Okay. So, this 12th verse says, 11th verse says, one has to make his mind steady and fix on a single goal. 12th verse says, one has to minimize the modes of passion and ignorance and maximize the mode of goodness and eventually transcend the mode of goodness also. Transcend the material modes. That is the theme of the 12th verse. Right? So the interaction of the three modes of nature creates great obstacles on the path of spiritual advancement. One has to transcend them. The 13th verse. 13th verse introduces the analogy of arrow maker. Tadaivam atman yavaruddha chitto naveda kinchit bahirantaram va yatheshukaro nrupatim vrajantam Ishaugatatma nadadarsha parshve.
Thus, when one's consciousness is completely fixed on the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one no longer sees duality or internal and external reality. The example is given of the arrow maker who was so absorbed in making a straight arrow that he did not even see or notice the king himself who was passing right next to him.
So, when a king passes, he doesn't go alone, like a sadhu. Sadhu, mendicant can go alone, but king, he goes on an elephant and a palki, with so much of sounds, instruments, soldiers marching behind him, horses and elephants running. So much of noise is created just by the passing of king's caravan. But an arrow maker, he was absorbed in making his arrows, right? He wanted to make the arrow straight nicely. He was so absorbed that he did not even notice the king passing. Right? If a sadhu is passing, or a fly is passing, or a mosquito is passing, you may not notice. But he was so absorbed that he did not even notice king's passes. So that is how one has to be fixed in attaining his goal. Right? Fixed in his yoga. So one who is completely absorbed in loving devotional service of the Absolute Truth, Krishna, he no longer pays attention to material illusion. He is absorbed. He rejects both internal and external illusion and is on mukti pada, the path of loving absorption in Absolute Truth. Right? He rejects everything else. This is about focus. That is the lesson there. Then detachment from material illusion is attained by Abhyasa Yoga, the regulated practice of Krishna consciousness. And oh, I cannot focus right now. Yeah, by practice, one will be able to focus. Like that. Abhyasa. Then 14th verse. Ekacharya niketasyat apramatto guhashaya అలక్ష్యమాణ ఆచారైర్ మునిర్ ఏకోల్ప భాషణ.
A saintly person should remain alone and constantly travel without any fixed residence. Being alert, he should remain secluded and should act in such a way that he is not recognized or noticed by others. Moving without companions, he should not speak more than required.
Okay. These are some of the lessons from snake. So, here is some instructions are given to the saintly person, then the snake will come. So, ekachari aniketasyad. Ekachari, move alone. That is the first one. Then, aniketasya, without any residence. You should travel without any residence, without any fixed residence. That is the boon or curse given to Narada Muni. Daksha says, he will not have any fixed residence. You keep traveling, you keep wandering throughout the universe. But that is good for a mendicant. Then, apramatto. Apramatto guhashayaha. So one should not be recognized by anyone. Right? One should be so alert to travel alone that he will not be recognized by other people. The conduct of a mendicant or a traveler is also exemplified by Vidura. So he was going here and there as a mendicant on pilgrimage in 3.1, third canto, first chapter. So there also the conduct of mendicant will come. So some of these are matching there. Being alert, he should not remain secluded. He should remain secluded, not recognized by anyone. And last line says, alpa bhashanaha. Alpa bhashana means don't speak more than required. If you speak more than required, then your identity may be revealed also. Like that. Alpa bhashanaha. Speak very less. Then why... these qualities are compared to snake, because snake is fearful of attack from human beings. Snake stays secluded within some, you know, what is that, anthill or somewhere. Snake stays secluded. So, and that's why, because snake is so fearful, as soon as you see the snake wants to bite the human being, because it's so insecure, so fearful, like that. So 15th verse. గృహారంభో హి దుఃఖాయ విఫలశ్చాధ్రువాత్మన సర్పః పరకృతం వేష్మ ప్రవిశ్య సుఖమేధితే.
When a person living in a temporary material body tries to construct a happy home, the result is fruitless and miserable. The snake, however, enters a home that has been built by others and prospers happily.
Okay, don't make your home, live in other's home. That is snake's philosophy. Right? So, person living in a temporary material body tries to construct a happy home. The result is fruitless and miserable. Again, this is, one has to understand this in proper spirit. Right? This is not meaning that one should lead a reckless life. Okay, one should live at the cost of others. One should keep his hand on other fellow and then take his property and... So snake goes into some ant hill and then stays there. All ants have to run away. Right? So that is not the message that snake is giving. So the actual message is, devotee need not imitate the austere life of ancient times. Now in the modern context, so one should, one can make a home. One should make a temple. Now sadhus are also building. So much of construction. Right? So much of construction happening here also for, you know, 5-6 years. So, sadhu can construct a home, right? Sadhus can construct a temple, ashram, etc. They can live there only for practicing Krishna consciousness, only for enabling others to practice Krishna consciousness, right? A devotee should willingly accept opulence with detachment, with a mood of detachment for Krishna service, right? So, one need not be unnecessarily austere. Which is recommended in the olden times. So one needs to understand this lesson in that spirit. And 16th verse is about the spider. Okay, this is 23rd guru. We are slowly completing. Eko Narayano Deva Purva Srishtam Swamayaya samhrityakala kalaya kalpanta idam ishvarah eka eva dvitiyo bhut atmadharo khilashraya.
The Lord of the universe, Narayan, is the worshipable God of all living entities. Without extraneous assistance, the Lord creates this universe by His own potency, and at the time of annihilation, the Lord destroys the universe through His personal expansion of time and withdraws all of the cosmos, including all the conditioned living entities, within Himself. Thus, His unlimited Self is the shelter and reservoir of all potencies. The subtle Pradhan, the basis of all cosmic manifestation, is conserved within the Lord and is in this way not different from Him. In the aftermath of annihilation, the Lord stands alone.
So, this 16, 17, 18, they are kind of summarizing what we have learnt in second canto and third canto. The creation process in short. Mahavishnu is there, from Him Pradhan is coming, then Mahatattva is coming, then all 23 elements are coming, then the different details of universe are manifesting. So, Lord is like a spider. So, what does spider do? Spider creates a spider web from its own body, right? And that spider web stays for some time. After that, spider will withdraw all that spider web within his body, within his mouth. Similarly, Lord also, Mahavishnu also, He can create this entire material universe, He can maintain it for a while, and then He can withdraw it also within His body. That is the essence of this whole three verses. Read the next translations, 17 and 18.
When the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays His own potency in the form of time and guides His material potencies, such as the mode of goodness, into a neutral condition of equilibrium, He remains as the supreme controller of that neutral state called Pradhan, as well as of the living entities. He is also the supreme worshipable object of all beings, including liberated souls, demigods, and ordinary conditioned souls. The Lord is eternally free from any material designation, and He constitutes the totality of spiritual bliss which one experiences by seeing the Lord's spiritual form. The Lord thus exhibits the fullest meaning of the word liberation.
So Lord creates, maintains, and annihilates, right? And yet He is totally aloof from this whole process of creation, maintenance, and destruction. So He is eternally free from any material designation. That is, He is eternally liberated. So He is independent of this whole creation thing. It's like, that's why He is compared to spider. So some of these lessons from purport are, one should fix one's mind in Krishna. So fixing mind in Krishna relieves one from material anxiety, because He is free from material contamination. So less intelligent persons accept the illogical doctrine that Lord is not a person. So all this shows that Lord is a person. So our near real nature is to be the servant of God. Some of these points are mentioned in the 18th purport. Okay. So like spider, he expands. Like spider expands thread through its mouth, plays with it and swallows it. Krishna expands His personal potency from within Himself, displays the network of cosmic manifestation, utilizes it, and eventually withdraws it. Okay, this is the lesson from spider. So spider is compared to Mahavishnu or Supreme Lord. There are more points about spider. Read the next translation.
O subduer of the enemies, at the time of creation, the personality of Godhead expands His own transcendental potency in the form of time, and agitating His material energy Maya, composed of the three modes of material nature, He creates the Mahat Tattva.
So this is all clear, right? He agitates, He sends His Kala Shakti, right? He causes the transformation Mahat Tattva, that Pradhana is transforming into Mahat Tattva. That is only mentioned here. So Pradhana modes are inactive, Mahat Tattva and false ego modes becomes active. All these are mentioned here. We have learnt earlier. That's why I'm not elaborating on it. Next. Swamayam, just two words I'll explain in the 19th verse. Second line, Swamayam Trigunatmikam. Swamayam means Maya is Lord's energy. Swamaya, Lord's own energy, means He's a person and He has some energy. Trigunatmakam, it consists of, constitutes of modes. So Swamayam indicates that the illusory potency that covers the conditioned souls is always subordinate to the Lord, whose consciousness is infallible and infinite, and who is always a person. Like that. Some of the lessons are here about how Lord is a person. A person is behind this entire creation, nothing impersonal. Go ahead.
According to great sages, that which is the basis of the three modes of material nature and which manifests the variegated universe is called the Sutra or Mahatattva. Indeed, this universe is resting within that Mahatattva, and due to its potency, the living entity undergoes material existence.
You remember Sutra Tattva, Mahatattva? Pradhana transforms because of Kala Shakti, when Pradhana transforms into Mahatattva, the Rajas portion of it is Sutra Tattva. The Sattva portion of it is called Mahatattva. And the Tamas portion of it will transform into false ego. We learned in 2.5 and 3.6. These things, creation chart. So last verse, read, 21st verse.
Just as from within himself the spider expands thread through his mouth, plays with it for some time and eventually swallows it, similarly the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands his personal potency from within himself. Thus the Lord displays the network of cosmic manifestation, utilizes it according to his purpose, and eventually withdraws it completely within himself.
We just read it. Okay. So now, in the purport, this one line is mentioned. One who is intelligent obtains spiritual knowledge even from a spider. So that is very striking. Basically, a pure devotee, what is his significance is, he will be able to identify every object, everything, every person in this entire cosmic manifestation in relation to Krishna. Right? From spider also he can learn a lot. Like that. That's very sharp intelligence. Now the last guru is Vasp. So, 22nd verse. Yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam dhiya sneha dveshad bhayad vapi yati tattat swarupatam.
If out of love, hate or fear, an embodied soul fixes his mind with intelligence and complete concentration upon a particular bodily form, he will certainly attain the form that he is meditating upon.
So, yatra yatra mano dehi. Yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam dhiya. So, with complete concentration, dhiya, with his intelligence, if he concentrates his mind on something, right, he will be able to attain that position. That is the lesson that we can learn from this Vasp. We'll read the next verse also and discuss. Next two verses we'll read and discuss. Kita peshaskaram dhyayan kudyam tena praveshita yati tatsatmatam rajan purvarupam asantyajan.
O king, once a wasp forced a weaker insect to enter his hive and kept him trapped there. In great fear, the weak insect constantly meditated upon his captor, and without giving up his body, he gradually achieved the same state of existence as the wasp. Thus, one achieves a state of existence according to one's constant concentration.
Then, evam gurubhya etebhya eshame sikshitamati svatmopasikshitam buddhim srunime vadata prabho.
O king, from all these spiritual masters I have acquired great wisdom. Now please listen as I explain what I learned from my own body.
This is actually concluding thing. Only two verses, 22 and 23 are the verses explaining about wasp. So what is about wasp? Wasp forces a smaller insect. See, the green one is another insect. That red and black one, black and yellow one is the wasp. It is forcing another insect to enter its house, whatever, small hole, whatever it has made. So that weaker insect It became very fearful. Constantly started meditating on this wasp only. By that meditation, it changed its own body and it also became a wasp. Similarly, if one constantly meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will achieve a spiritual body. Supreme Lord is all spiritual. If one constantly meditates on Him, He will become spiritual. Like that. Dhiya, with His intelligence. Yadya dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti. Tat tattva puh pranayase sadanugrahaya. So when one meditates on Supreme Lord's body, Supreme Lord's form, then not only that He Himself will attain a spiritual body, Lord also will reciprocate with Him in the form that He likes. Like that. So that is the example of wasp. So the word dhiya with intelligence indicates complete intellectual conviction in a particular understanding. And similarly the word sakalam indicates one-pointed attention of the mind. So when you say dhiya and sakalam, oh, I will meditate on Krishna today and then I will attain spiritual body and rest of the life I can do whatever I want. Right? It's like dhiya, complete attention, complete absorption in that form. Complete dedication to Krishna. That will enable one to attain spiritual world or spiritual body. Like that. Because that green insect, it didn't think, oh, for 5 minutes it thought about wasp and rest of the things, he's doing his own things. It will not attain wasp body. It's like total absorption in that body. Like that. Even in 7th canto, 1st chapter also, Kamat, Dveshat, Bhayat, Snehat, so by thinking of Krishna in whatever mood, by lust or by anger or by envy or any other emotion, one will attain Krishna. Right? That attaining of Krishna is different from different people. Okay? Or who is that? Tatakini. Putana. Putana attained Krishna. But she did not attain Krishna like the other devotees attained. Right? Kamsa attained Krishna. Shishupal attained Krishna. So many people attained Krishna. And all the cows and the gopis, they attained Krishna. All the attainment of Krishna is different on different levels. We discussed elaborately in 7.1. Right? So depending on the level of absorption, depending on the mood of absorption, one will attain that kind of destination. Like that. So meditation upon a particular object, by constant meditation on a particular object, one's consciousness becomes filled with its qualities. Next, 310, page number 310. Although we are conditioned souls, if we absorb our consciousness in Krishna, we can become liberated even giving up, even before giving up present body. That is called Jivan Mukta. Ihayase Harer Dase Karmana Manasagira Nikhilaswapi Avasthasu Jivan Mukta Savujyate. Right? Even within this body also, we can act on a spiritual plane if one is absorbed in Krishna. Like that. That's what is recommended. What is that verse? No, 10th canto, 14th chapter, Brahmaji's prayers. Jnane prayasa mudabhase namanta yeva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita shruti gatam tanu van manobhir. Dedicate oneself, your body, mind and words to glorification of Krishna. Right? Then you can conquer Krishna. Like that. So if one is a stubborn fool, then even in this life one can become just like an animal. See this. If one is a stubborn fool, even in this life one can become like an animal. Right? Like a hog or a dog. Constantly thinking of eating and sex life. But human life is actually meant for understanding the science of consciousness and the future results of our meditation. Okay? So constant absorption in anything will make one like that. We are where our consciousness is. Like that. If one's consciousness is in Krishna, then he will be with Krishna. So, yeah, this is this point we discussed. Yeah, this is one beautiful example about Bharat Maharaj. He was absorbed in thinking about the deer. Next life, he got the body of a deer. Right? Of course, that's on a different plane. We have discussed more details about how Bharat Maharaj had an auspicious Prarabdha Karma. Krishna wanted to increase his longing for devotional service. That's another thing. But another message that this pastime gives is Bharat Maharaj was absorbed in deer and he got a deer body. Like that. Yam yam vapi saran bhavam chetachyante kalevaram. Then, what is the next verse? No, next verse. Antakale chamaveva saran mukta kalevaram. So these are certain verses related to it. Now the last guru is one's own body. Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hetur. Body may seem so strong and maybe apparently attractive, but see what kind of lessons are there from the body. Deho gurur mama virakti vivikta viveka hetur. Bibhratsmana sattva nidhanam satarati udarkam. Tvattanyanena vimrishami yatha tathapi. Parakhyam ityavasito vicharamya sangha.
The material body is also my spiritual master because it teaches me detachment. Being subject to creation and destruction, it always comes to a painful end. Thus, although using my body to acquire knowledge, I always remember that it will ultimately be consumed by others, and remaining detached, I move about this world.
The lesson that he has learned is, this body will only cause trouble to me. So let me be detached from this body. Right? Body will ultimately be consumed by others. Who are the others? Who are the other three people who might consume the body? Huh? Worms? Krimi vid bhasma. Okay? Fire consumes, that becomes ashes, bhasma. Right? Now it becomes stool when vultures eat. Okay?
Fire.
Okay, that's a different thing. What will happen to the body is the question here. It will be consumed by others. It will be consumed by vultures or dogs or fire, etc. It will become krimi vid bhasma. Okay? We will not get into that. It will become worm in the stool also. When someone eats. Okay. Although the body bestows great benefit by enabling one to learn about this world, one should always remember its unhappy and inevitable future. Like that. Here also it's given. Ashes, insects, worms, etc. One should, however, carefully maintain bodily health. Again, one should not take this lesson to an extreme thing. Right? Oh, body is useless, then I will not take care of the body. That's not the way. This body, although ultimately its end is to become ashes or stool, etc., it will help one, especially a human being, to gain spiritual knowledge, to do service to Krishna. All this physical, these senses can be engaged in service of Krishna. So to that extent, one should maintain the body without getting attached to the body. Like that. That is also nicely mentioned here. One should, however, carefully maintain bodily health to execute Krishna consciousness, but without undue affection or attachment. That is the key line in the purport. Even Prahlad Maharaj also says, as long as the body is stout and strong, 7.6.5, as long as the body is stout and strong, one will be able to execute Krishna consciousness. Once the health becomes poor or old in old age, one will not be able to chant or hear or sit for long. One cannot discuss Krishna Katha or go to temple, go for yatra, all that we cannot do. Like that. So one has to utilize the good condition, healthy condition of the body to engage nicely in Krishna consciousness. Then vivikta viveka, the intelligence to virakti viveka, means intelligence to detach oneself from useless things. Like that. Avasthita indicates conviction. Next verse, 26th verse. Jayatma jartha pasubhritya grihapta vargan. Pushnati yat priyachikir shaya. Priyachikir shaya vitanvan. Svanesa krichrama varuddha dhana sadeha. Srishtvasya bijam avasidati vriksha dharma.
A man attached to the body accumulates money with great struggle to expand and protect the position of his wife, children, property, domestic animals, servants, homes, relatives, friends, and so on. He does all this for the gratification of his own body. As a tree before dying produces the seed of a future tree, the dying body manifests the seed of one's next material body in the form of one's accumulated karma. Mm. Thus assuring the continuation of material existence, the material body sinks down and dies. Mm.
So this material body will act as a seed for the next material body. Because through this material body, this soul has fulfilled so many of his sense gratificatory desires and created another body. Right? So that enables the continuation. Mm-hmm. Now body is the teacher. Body is teaching all these lessons. So now, is body the best guru? For it awards detachment and fine intelligence. So our Avadhut has learnt all these lessons from the body only. Body is a good teacher. Shouldn't we serve it for its wonderful qualities? So body doesn't teach in the manner of some benevolent teacher. Rather, it teaches by causing much pain and misery. Convincing us, asma atma deha, Rishabh Dev says, causing much pain and misery, convincing us of the uselessness of material life. To that extent, body is guru. But this guru is not meant to be served. Okay, like the spiritual master. This guru is not meant to be given all facilities. We just learn from it and then we detach it from this guru. We attach it to the lesson from the guru, not to the guru. That is the body teacher. Yeah, next, 27th verse. Please read the translation.
A man who has many wives is constantly harassed by them. He is responsible for their maintenance and thus all the ladies constantly pull him in different directions, each struggling for her self-interest. Similarly, the material senses harass the conditioned soul, pulling him in many different directions at once. On one side, the tongue is pulling him to arrange tasty food. Then thirst drags him to get a suitable drink. Simultaneously, the sex organs clamor for satisfaction and the sense of touch demands soft, sensuous objects. The belly harasses him until it is filled. The ears demand to hear pleasing sound. The sense of smell hankers for pleasant aromas. And the fickle eyes clamor for pleasing sights. Thus the senses, organs and limbs, all desiring satisfaction, pull the living entity in many directions.
Mm-hmm. Verse is also nice. You can read later, recite later. So this is the condition of a man with multiple senses. They are pulling in different directions. Except Krishna, every other man who had multiple wives was criticized. Right? Most other men at least. So every man is considered to be possessing multiple wives, means in the form of multiple senses. They keep on pulling him in various directions, right? So as this verse describes, eyes want to go somewhere, nose want to go somewhere, and ears want to go somewhere, tongue wants to go somewhere, and the poor fellow is like bewildered. Okay? So one should merely offer the sense objects to these senses, right? Whatever is needed, without attachment. Just give bare necessities to these senses. Not pamper those senses. Otherwise they will go wild and then take the person somewhere else. So that is the lesson we can learn from this. Read the next life also, next translation.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding his own potency, Maya Shakti, created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers a conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth and became pleased.
Mm. So Krishna created so many forms, but the human form is most dear to Krishna. Right? Because human life awards the opportunity to understand one's eternal relationship with God. This is acknowledged by Brahmaji also in the third canto, 15th chapter and many other places where human life is appreciated, glorified. So next verse is also about human life. But this verse we will not skip, we will read this. Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manushyam arthadam anityam apiha dhira turnam yateta napate anumrityayavan nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyat.
After many, many births and deaths, one achieved the rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being.
So what is the speciality of this human life? Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahusambhavante. So after many births, one will attain this human birth. Right? In that human birth, which is like manushyam arthadam anityam apiha dhiraha. Although it is anityam apiha, although it is not permanent like any other form, but it is arthadam, it is very meaningful. Nridehaam ardhyam sulabham sudurlabham, what is that? Pavaplavam sukalpam guru karnadharam, right? Mayana kulena nabhasvadena sa atmaha. So, Uddhava Krishna says in the future chapters also. So, one has to utilize the advantages of this human body to cross this material ocean. So, because the opportunity to perform devotional service is not there in other forms of life. Human life is meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness under the guidance of an experienced devotee of the Lord. So, that is the conclusion of this purport. See the last two lines of 317 page. So now Avadhuti is concluding. Having learned from my spiritual masters, I remain situated in self-realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and fully renounced and enlightened by realized spiritual knowledge, wander the earth without attachment or false ego. Next, 31. Please read the translation.
Although the absolute truth is one without a second, the sages have described him in many different ways. Therefore, one may not be able to acquire very firm or complete knowledge from one spiritual master.
See, this conclusion could be a little bewildering. That's why there is a long purport. There is quite a long purport. Getting knowledge from one spiritual master, right? One may not be able to acquire firm knowledge, complete knowledge from one spiritual master. That's why we need so many gurus. That's what he ended with. But which is correct? One spiritual master or more spiritual masters? Right? One guru or more gurus? Which is correct? So, the spirit of understanding this verse is very nicely given in this purport. Now, the absolute truth is glorified in many ways by the sages. I will read some selected statements from the purport to understand the gist of it. He says, the words Giyate Bahudarshibhi means the absolute truth is glorified in many ways by the sages, indicate the personal and impersonal understandings of the absolute truth. In other words, sages describe only the Lord's impersonal effulgence, which is without spiritual variety, and some sages describe Lord's personality. Some sages describe his impersonal aspect, some sages describe his personal aspect, right? So now you bring both together, then it will become complete, like that. That's why multiple gurus are needed. That is like one angle. So that's why merely by hearing from many different authorities, one cannot actually learn the highest perfection of life. The proliferation of different spiritual authorities is useful only to counteract the living entity's tendency to be grossly materialistic. Different spiritual philosophies create faith in the existence of the soul and may be accepted at that level. But as will be clarified in later verses, the spiritual master who ultimately gives perfect knowledge is one. There is one spiritual master, one ultimate spiritual master. Like that. So now, what is the idea? There is one guru, that is Diksha Guru. One can initiate one into the process of Krishna consciousness. And there could be multiple Siksha Gurus, right, who can give various lessons, right? That is one understanding. So what is the understanding? How can we understand it deeper? One can strengthen the teachings received from one acharya and avoid transgressing his orders by observing ordinary things in nature. One should not mechanically receive the teachings of one's guru. The disciple should be thoughtful and with his own intelligence realize in practice what he has heard from his spiritual master by observing the world around him. Yesterday also we began like this. I thought of discussing this purport before 24 gurus. I spoke some of these points. So, one must take lesson from a single bona fide guru, and one can learn lessons from various other things, and in the light of the knowledge given by his one spiritual master, right? He will equip him with certain knowledge. Based on that, he wants to expand that knowledge and make that knowledge more deep and realize it through seeing various examples in the nature. Okay. However, in worshipping one's acharya, one may take help from good and bad examples. Right? Now, by observing good examples, one will strengthen one's devotional service. By observing some bad examples, one will get a warning note or caution note, right, to avoid danger. That's why there are so many gurus, 24 gurus, some are giving positive lessons, some are giving negative lessons. For example, PGN was giving a negative lesson. Right? PGN's example was a negative example. It is cautioning us, oh, beware. Okay, and some other, say a tree or earth, is giving a positive lesson, tolerance, learn from it, imbibe that quality, and here stay away from this material attachments. So like that, there are positive examples and negative examples. One can learn and strengthen his things. So in this way, one may accept many ordinary material objects as gurus, considering them as siksha gurus, or gurus who give important lessons for spiritual advancement. Right? So again, to develop steady, complete knowledge, one must see the teachings of one's acharya everywhere. See the teachings of one acharya everywhere. So means we are seeing everything and learning from them based on the teachings given by your own acharya. Thus, a Vaishnava offers all respects to anyone or anything that gives him further enlightenment in the path of worshipping one bona fide acharya, who is non-different from Krishna. So, by acquiring knowledge from various sources, you are strengthening your dedication to your one teacher only. Unless that one teacher has not equipped you with certain knowledge, you will not be able to learn this kind of lesson from this object. Right? Again, same thing, we read from Prabhupada's purports. That is our main thing. And we also read other books to strengthen our appreciation for Prabhupada's books. Like that. So, this is... These are so many important aspects, right? After we complete the 24 gurus, we need to understand what is the significance of learning from so many gurus in this light. This purport is very key purport for that. Now Krishna is concluding in the 32nd verse. Having thus spoken to King Yadu, the wise Brahmana accepted obeisances and worship from the king and felt pleased within himself. Then, bidding farewell, he left exactly as he had come. And this Brahmana is Dattatreya, incarnation Dattatreya. We have heard about him in the second canto, in the 7th chapter. I kept it towards the end. We could have revealed it in the beginning also, but this Brahmana is Dattatreya. Okay. Now, last verse. Huh? Seventh canto was Dattatreya. I didn't hear like that. Okay. Second canto is quoted here. Okay. He spoke to Yadu. Dattatreya spoke to Yadu. All those were mentioned there. Then, O Uddhava, hearing the words of Avadhuta, the saintly king Yadu, who is the forefather of our own ancestors, became free from all attachment, and thus his mind was evenly fixed on the spiritual platform. So, that is the conclusion of 24 gurus section. So, tomorrow we will begin the 10th chapter. So, now, so far, through this story of Avadhuta Brahman, Krishna explained the qualities and character of a saintly person. Right? saintly person is like this. Okay, he has learned this quality from so and so guru, like that. Now Krishna, from now onwards, from 10th chapter onwards, Krishna describes the practical means for achieving those saintly qualities. Right? So now he has described the qualities of saintly person. Now Krishna will describe the practical means to acquire that saintly position from 10th verse, 10th chapter. Thank you all very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Questions? Yeah. Now, what is the practical means to attain those qualities? That will. In some comments about association. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. You see, after that girl with the bangles, in one of the recent another verses also, I think again similar thing came up in a later verse also again. Again, being alone and not talking much. The snake example when he gave, that time we again read it, that one should be aloof and everything. So the reason for so many times the emphasis being given here is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in that Bhaktialoka. Bhaktialoka book is actually an elaboration of NOI book. Not all the verses, few verses. So in one of the elaborations he says that when one who is still under the three modes, three gunas, when people come together, then naturally there is a useless talk. And the useless talk gradually, turns into argument and debate. And argument and debate makes people's heart very hard. And it actually arouses the false ego in people and increases enmity and competitive mentality and superiority and trying to prove oneself to be better than others, which is a very unconducive mentality for a Vaishnava. And such kind of debating and arguing leads to fault finding in others, because once we debate with somebody and they defeat us, then we become attentive to their faults. We want to find out, okay, yesterday you defeated me, now I'll find some fault in you. Yesterday I could not prove, but something else I'll prove. Then the fault finding comes, and the fault finding eventually leads to blasphemy. So useless talk, to debate and argument, to fault finding and blasphemy. So these are all developments of people coming together and congregating together and talking something that is not so Krishna conscious, something mundane. So this is one reason why this kind of warning is given, and that Gauranga Prabhu used to have one private place in Chaupati temple, upstairs, behind the deity room. So whenever he has to study Bhagavatam, he would go there and lock up. And he would loudly read Bhagavatam there. I used to watch through the window. So early morning he will be reading. When I get up in the morning, I would often want to go and check whether he is studying there. I'll go there and he will be, sure enough, reading the purpose of Prabhupada very loudly. So he was telling that this is my private place, and there are certain times of the day he would go to study there. So nobody would disturb him. So we all need undisturbed time, and that is why we have come to this kind of seminary type of setting also. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aratir Jana Samsadi. He says also. So the Vivikta actually means seclusion. So the first type of seclusion is keeping away from materialistic people and non-devotees and coming to a place where swan-like devotees congregate. And after congregating in such a place, again there is another type of seclusion, which is learning the etiquettes to deal with devotees, proper etiquettes and Vaishnava etiquettes, by which one will not unnecessarily get into useless talk and debate and argument and fault-finding, blasphemy and all these things. Because that kind of thing, again, even in a spiritual place, there can be material ambience, which is created from wrong type of association. Like you find in the Srirangam temple, some brahmanas came together to ridicule one brahmana, you know, who was studying Bhagavad Gita. Which goes to show that even in a temple or even in a religious monastery, similarly here Ramanuja, some disciples were fighting somebody, you took my copy and you took my gamsha, and they were all fighting. You hear that? Ramanuja wanted to show them that, you know, you may be learned scholars, but you are fighting for a copy or something like that. So, in ashramas, even in temple, in religious institutions, there can be heated arguments between people, even if you are Vaishnavas, but we are not very advanced. If we are not, the advancement is not necessarily we have to be beyond three gunas, but even when we are below three gunas also, we need certain kind of etiquette and behavior and dealing with one another, by which also includes some amount of tongue control, which also includes some amount of controlling the speech. Because if we don't control the speech, certainly it will lead to some accident, some unwanted accident. That is why the warning is given there. And another thing is we pollute the ether by speaking something non-Krishna conscious. Because we have been through the material world for millions of lifetimes. Now we have come to Krishna consciousness. Now, after having come to Krishna consciousness movement, the externals are very easy to change. You know, wearing a tilak, keeping a shika, wearing Godhikurta. But the internals don't change so much. One devotee was sharing in Pune that, Prabhuji, I have spent 10 years in the movement. Still I feel I am an engineer. He was telling, my engineer bhav is not gone. He says, although I am wearing dhoti kurta, shika, and clean shaven head, I'm preaching and to so many people also. Still, any time I think I am an. So that kind of mood and attitude, materialistic consciousness called gramya buddhi. The gramya buddhi doesn't go away very easily, because just like in a pot, you keep liquor, you throw the liquor and you wash it in a river, and then you dry it and then you smell it. Still, the smell comes. That is called gramya buddhi. Because the impressions in our mind, they are called vasanas, isn't it? And then the material desires produced in the mind, it is called vritti. The vritti is actually the impressions. And the vasanas are the material desires produced. And our working organs, they act on those material desires. That is called sanskara. So the impression, the desires and activities, if you see. So when Ramanuja explains about the sthita prajna, he says sthita prajna doesn't create impressions also in the mind when he sees sense objects in the world, which is a very advanced stage. In our neophyte stage, what has become impression? Impression is already producing many material desires. And sometimes the sense organs also act. And that is not counted as a sthita prajna at all. Sthita prajna does not act. He is compared with the example of a tortoise, like Kurumanga Aniva Sarvashaha, Krishna says. So he withdraws his senses from sense objects and protects himself. So in our stage, we have not come to the stage of not acting with our senses. And then, so not acting with the senses, then curbing the material desires, then comes curbing impressions. So to curb the dirty impressions in our mind, one has to become very sober. And one has to be watchful of one's behavior, one's speech, one's activities, one's thought process. And for that, one has to talk less. Because when you talk more, the tongue vibrates more, and the mind is agitated more, and the mind becomes hyperactive. And in this way, we may also talk things which are un-Krishna conscious, which may pollute the ambience, as well as we pollute our own mind also. So that is why some amount of reservation is prescribed in the path of spiritual life. But after one becomes pure, then when one will talk only about Krishna consciousness, then one should talk 24/7. Like Prabhupada was speaking all day, every day. Sometimes Prabhupada had 8 programs a day, you know. Once Prabhupada's servant writes, when Prabhupada went to Allahabad, Kumbh Mela, one of the days the servant writes that there were 8 engagements Prabhupada had. So after the 5th engagement, his servant was knocked out. He was sleeping in a bed. And Prabhupada went alone to the program. So and servant had to take another auto and rush behind. He says, so Prabhupada would speak continuously, and he could talk continuously, sensibly also. He could talk continuously, sensibly, purposefully, and helpfully. He could speak like that. So that is why you find that repeating thing. And as Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has very beautifully given the explanation, and Chakravarti Thakur also gives, that there's a very remarkable difference between jnanis, munis on one side and bhaktas on the other side. Bhaktas, jnani yogis, they talk a lot about negating the world. Whereas the bhaktas talk about engaging everything in Krishna service. So due to the negating tendency, the example is given of she was having only one bangle on either hand, so it didn't produce any noise. But Chakravarti Thakur gives example of a princess. A princess wearing multiple bangles, because she has, when somebody comes to her home, she doesn't have to, beat that. Because princess will tell the servant maid to cook her something and bring something. She doesn't have to work herself. Because they may not be using poor quality rice. She'll be using basmati rice or something. Similarly, Vaishnavas, he says, are like, they have so many Vaishnava qualities also. And they have great respect for each other in Vaishnava community. In fact, Vaishnavas have one deep realization that Krishna can manifest himself through various Vaishnavas. And Krishna can come through the tongue of so many enlightened souls. And they respect the enlightenment of other Vaishnavas, even if they are junior or equal or senior. Krishna can, like when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, Narada and Vedavyas were sitting, that goes to show that they have a deep appreciation. Similarly, Suta Goswami says, Tam Vyasa Sonam Upayami Guru Munina, he is glorifying him as, my guru has occupied the heart of all, He says he has a very deep respect. So they have deep respect for one another, and that's one thing. Another thing is, they all have one central subject, which is Krishna. And they always speak what is heard in the Kuru Parampara only. You find Ajamila pastime after finishing, Shukadeva Goswami says that I heard it from Agastya Muni. He says, if he says I heard from Agastya Muni, what is speak of us? We have to only say Prabhupada says this, Guru Maharaj said this, I heard Uchana Chakravarti Thakur said that. Our classes can become complete simply by saying like that. You quote, there is so much volume of literature Vaishnavas have produced, you can repeat from them also. And also, whenever there appears to be, somebody asks to Prabhupada, why there is a contradiction between Acharyas? And Rana Swami quotes in his lecture, there is no contradiction in the Acharya's commentaries. Because one Acharya tells from one angle, another Acharya explains from another angle. But the same Acharya also can give from two angles also. Prabhupada says, Arjuna is soft-hearted, he says, in one purport. Another purport says, this is bodily consciousness. So when one accepts Krishna's verdict and Acharya's verdict, then one is able to resolve all controversies and, contrasts and everything, and one is able to come, one's mind becomes completely peaceful. One comes to ground level, and one accepts that, one is able to see all the contradictions and all are resolved, just like that verse, tat tejati, tannai jati, tad dure, tad dantike. So all the contradictions are resolved only in Krishna. There is no more confusion, no more bewilderment. One is satisfied. And the most important thing is, whenever something is beyond me, I can't understand, I can put it in the inconceivable box and keep it for the future. And I can always think that I think Krishna doesn't feel I am qualified to understand it at the moment. So I will continue chanting Hare Krishna. Whenever I grow up, Krishna will reveal to me. So because of this attitude of Vaishnavas, thousands of Vaishnavas can come together. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur made Vishwa Vaishnava Rajya Sabha. He made Vishwa Vaishnava Rajya Sabha. Means not only, Gaudiya Math Vaishnavas, but Vaishnavas can come from all the different Sri Vaishnavas, all of them can come together and they can all associate on a common platform, because the Bhagavan, the Bhakta and the Bhakti, all three are eternal. So this is the understanding of all Vaishnavas. No Vaishnava will talk about merging into Brahman. No Vaishnava will talk about controlling like the yogi, or enjoying proprietorship like the karmi, or merging like the jnani. So they know these things, sir. So all Vaishnavas have the common language which they speak, which is the language of love and surrender. So they are able to come together, and that is like the princess wearing hundreds of bangles in the hand, gold and silver and everything. Vaishnavas, in fact, the Vaishnavas' real bhushan is association. Satam prasanga mama virya samhita, which is said. So that was one thing. Another small thing, the Pingala prostitutes realization which we heard, her detachment, because she happens to be a woman and she's talking about men and this and that, we may learn one quick lesson that she became detached from her expectations, and she was because of this we may miss out one very deep lesson that is being explained in that Pingala section, which is Pingala actually had a enjoying mentality. So because of her enjoying mentality, she had expectations. Material desires produce material expectations. And the material expectations make us think, I am the controller. I am in control. And everything should happen the way I want to happen. So the most amazing thing is every living entity in this world has come with his own fiddle to play, his own fiddle in this world. Everybody has come with his own violin or guitar or something. Every living entity wants to show off, who am I and you know, how great I am. And they have come with their own set of desires to be fulfilled and expectations from everyone else. And they want to be the pivot of the whole universe, and everything should be orchestrated around them. So with that type of mentality, when one looks out for happiness, one will be thoroughly frustrated in this world. For example, when we come in our lives also, when two devotees come together also, when we come with our own set of material desires. For example, if a senior and a junior come together, the junior that the junior devotee thinks that you know, my desire should be fulfilled, and the senior desires that my desire should be fulfilled. So both of them, and the senior is imagining that this junior is very, you know, I am the HOD of the department, and he is working in my department, and he will hear me. I think he wants instructions from me. But actually, the junior, who is a neophyte devotee, actually is thinking, how will this bring my success? How can I grow? How I will become popular? How I will be understood as very important? So you will find a neophyte situation where in this world nobody is interested in us. The only person interested is Krishna only. This is a very painful truth which everybody has to come to grip with. Actually, I heard a saying which says that I thought everybody is looking at me until I realized no one is interested in me. Like that somebody. Where are we ready? Vision for selling in Pune. I thought everyone is looking at me and is going to be impressed by me. Until I realized that nobody was interested in me, nobody was looking at me. He says this was a statement in English. So, the fact is, every living entity tries to impress everyone else. But everyone else is not impressed by them, but in case they are impressed due to envy. That is why neighbors envy one as pride. Like somebody may come and tell you, you know, hey Prabhuji, what a beautiful tune you are singing, Prabhuji. That means, you know, I want to sing a tune better than you. Prabhuji, what a lecture. Like one boy asked me a question after I gave a class in congregation. He raised hand and he asked me, Prabhuji, last 1 hour you are going on talking, sitting there, and people are silently listening. Now, I also want to know how to speak in a spellbound way that all the audience will silently listen to me. That was the question he asked. After the class, he had a question. So one boy had come in, college boy had come. So in this world, everybody is thinking, how I can become a hero? How I can prove I am a hero? So because we are living in a fool's paradise, this material world, and everybody has come with their own independent desires. And even people who come and praise are also praising only out of envy. It's very rare that some Vaishnava devotee is coming and appreciating genuinely from the heart. It's very, very rare in this world. Some people do chaplaincy. Chaplaincy means flattery to get something from you. And other fellows praise, harboring desires of envy and competitive mentality in this world. So, material world is filled with people like that. But when we come into Vaishnava circle, we are actually repeatedly taught that Vaishnavas means we should give up envy. We should give up competitive mentality. Everyone else is better than me. I am the most insignificant, you know. And all devotees are superior to me. And Krishna is empowering everyone. And they are all Mahatmas. And I have no good qualities. Many times we know this theory. Only to implement is very difficult. Because we are living in a material world which is filled with a very bad vibration. So this Pingala, she was actually thinking. See, woman means dependent. Abala. So, whenever a man would come to her, she would take him in, and when a woman is embraced by the long arms of a man, she feels completely sheltered, and she feels that, here is my bharta. You know, he will give me money every day, he'll give me house, you know, he'll give me TV, he'll give me, take me in a car, he will give me jewelry to wear, and he'll pamper me, he will maintain me. Actually, woman means they want to keep man in their grip, in their control, and they want a man who can supply them anything. Lord Narayana, if you see, he's standing next to Lakshmi with Shankar Chakra Gada Padma. And he is supremely opulent. And Lakshmi is after him. And he is not after Lakshmi. Similarly, if you see, modern men also, many times, they have to prove to modern women, like in our Pune, we have marriage bureau, the girls who are educated girls, they want a boy who will be at least drawing 10 to 12 lakhs per annum, minimum. Otherwise, they don't want to. So the men have to prove to women that I have resources to supply you. You know, I may not have 400 form, but I have, here is a car key, here is a bungalow key, here is my ATM card, you know, here is my foreign opportunities. They have to also show, I have these abilities by which I can take, I can protect you. Then a woman thinks, okay, this fellow is fit now. Whoever can provide me, he is the fellow who is fit to become my bharta, become my maintainer. So maintaining a woman is like maintaining a white elephant, you know. Not very easy. Yeah. So this Pingala was thinking, see, when Pingala, one man came inside, he embraced her and she behaved with him like a lover. But it is foolishness, she thought. You know why? Because that fellow will be with her only for an hour or two. He will enjoy her body and he will go away. Paying some little paltry amount of money to her and go away. Is he a bharata? Similarly, all people who come to maintain us other than Krishna, they are all like that only. So, in this world, the people come to pamper us, to be pampered by us. Because people come to us for some business only in this world. That is why even in Bhagavatam 10th canto, we studied, you know, gopis are saying, Nistvam tejanti ganika. She says, you know, that in that verse she is telling, if a man is showing interest in a woman, he has to be her father or brother or son. If it is not, if any other man is showing some interest in a woman, it may be for sense gratification. You know, it must be with some motivation, they are saying. Otherwise, there is, without motivation in this world, nobody comes to close to us. So Krishna is the only Lord who is our supreme friend, who has no motivation from us, who is our well-wisher and benefactor with no expectation from us. Or Krishna's representative. If some Krishna's representative who has absolutely nothing to get from us, but he is only in a giving mode, not in a taking mode. So only those are the only people who can trust. Otherwise, so she was thinking, she was laughing to herself, what a foolish lady I am. This fellow is just coming and embracing me. But he's embracing me for exploiting me. He's not embracing me to shelter me. He's embracing me to. Yeah. So in this way, we also have been cheated life after life. We go to a company which tells you, we will give you, in the interview they tell you, we will give you 10 lakh per annum, come. Like in Pune, one boy was working in a company, another company called him, we'll give you 10 lakh per annum. So in the interview they told him, when he went to the company, he came to know that 5 people in the department were removed and their job was given to this one man. He has to work 16 hours a day. So they are giving him a fat salary but also fat job also. I mean fat amount of hard work also. So in this way you'll find people who come to tell you that I will do something for you, I will shelter you, I'll provide you, they also have to exploit you also. So later on she realized, Are, these fellows are rascals and fools. They are coming to enjoy my body, to exploit my body. They are not coming to you know, shelter me, or they are not my well-wishers. They simply want to enjoy my flesh and bones. The useless fellows, good for nothing fellows. So later on she got the realization. But Krishna, as far as my Lord is concerned, you know, so all of us jivas, we are also female, prakriti. So we are also looking for a master in this world. Like what is that verse which says, dog goes from door to door. Odanam, dantam odanam. Correct, no? Yeah. Similarly, we are actually looking for a master. Huh? And we get many masters, and we are, like, we join one company and then we are not satisfied, salary is less. So we leave the company, go to another company, that workload is too much. We leave the company, this fellow is transfer is too much. So we go from master to master. Huh? And carrying the degree in our mouth, you know, going and showing. Sir, you know, please, oh master, I want one master in my life. Will you become a master? Will you become a master? Like that we are going here and there. At last we found a capable master, which is our spiritual master. And all the spiritual masters in the line, leading us to Krishna, who is the genuine master. So she got that realization actually. And which means that fellow is trying to exploit me, I am trying to exploit him. We are simply fooling one another in this world. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. So when it comes to Krishna, the only price we have to pay is pure love. And the only thing we can expect from him is pure love. Nothing else. Because when we agree with Krishna that I am ready to play the game which you want me to play, and the game is pure devotional service. I will come with love and you accept me only with my love as the prize. And for that, what will Krishna give you? He will give himself. So when she got this realization, she became detached. In this way, when we are living in this world, when we develop this detachment and understand that, you know, let me try to become a servant of others. Let me do some service to others. That is what actually Krishna does. Krishna and Guru, they all actually have come in this world to serve other living entities. They are not to exploit. So if we have exploitative mentality in our life, then we also have exploitative expectations from others. I want to exploit somebody, so I have too many expectations from others also. And sometimes even devotees say like that, I tricked him like this, I pulled his leg like this, and... It may be for Krishna consciousness, but the idea is, as long as there is an exploitative mentality, tricking mentality, cheating mentality, it's not very good. For example, I tell you a service, but I don't tell you the full volume of service. I tell you only part of the service, because I know if I tell you the full service, you'll run away. You know? And then devotees say, hey, usko bhej diya abhi, gaya abhi. Sometimes devotees say like that, marega abhi. You know? So this is exploitative mentality. So sometimes we think we can exploit, but that fellow will be a bigger cheater. He will go and see that the service is very big. He will put another useless fellow and he will go away. So actually by studying the characters like this, we can understand actually Krishna's quality is so pure and so sublime. So that is why when we see his quality, When we are attracted, then she became detached, and then she was ready to practice pure devotional service subsequently. So very wonderful characters, each and every one of the gurus, along with our beautiful PowerPoint just prepared. I felt these are like international class pictures which you have used. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
First question, 15 marks. Third question, 15 marks. In third question, quote only 31 and 44. No need of 37. Third question, quote 31 and 44 only. 11.8. 15 marks. Only 31 and 44, bro. 37, no need to put. Then 9th chapter, first and second questions, each 10 marks. 9th chapter, first question 10 marks, second question 10 marks. Thank you.
Lessons, just
write in very short. Just write the guru's name, maybe two, three, whatever bullet points. Okay, lessons.